Good evening. This is the weekly conference call of CCWIG Group on Wednesday, 30th of April, 15 UTC. On the following call, we've received a few apologies from participants. Those are Evan Leibovich, Jordan Carter, Kate Drasnik, Merlin Kate, Michelle Nalon, Phil Corwin. The following participants are attending today's call. Those are David Maher, Sintra Suknanon, Phyllis Ilmas, Greg Shatan, Hago Dafala. We have Leon Sanchez, Oliver Krippan Leblon, Pranish Prakash, Rafik Damak, and we have Yvette Muir, Marilia Maciel, and from ICANN staff, we have Bart Boswinkle, and myself, Petya Minkova. Is there anyone on the phone, not in the Adobe Connect room, please? Hector Manoff is here.
Yeah, there's Hector Manoff as well. It's Olivia speaking. There's Hector Manoff and also Youngam Lee have both arrived whilst you were doing the roll call.
Yeah, thank you, Olivia. Please, you may have the floor.
Thank you very much, Petya. Oh, and I see Alexandra Danz as well is there. Quietly typing in the chat. So welcome everybody, and I realize that many of you have been traveling to the Net Mundial meeting in Brazil, and we're going to have an agenda that will primarily spend time on the charter, and then afterwards move over to maybe a few reflections on the Net Mundial consolidated statement. Although I think that it probably is a bit premature at the moment. I know that many people are still studying what that statement means and where one goes from there. But it would be interesting to exchange a few points of view, perhaps even points of view also with Marilia, who was in the organizing team. First, let's start with the review of action items, which is a standard thing that we do on all of our calls. And so I invite you all to have a look at the page that has the action items page from our last call, the 17th of March. The three action items have been done and completed, so effectively we don't have any outstanding action items as far as I know at the moment. Does anyone have any comments or questions regarding the action items? Seeing no one put their hand up, let's move on then straight to agenda item number two, and that is the work on the charter. So I realize that some of you might have missed some previous calls, but you will have seen that Bart Boswinkle has been very diligently bringing in all the input from the various participants in the calls and the various documents that we've had until now, and has put together a charter which has been put over on the mailing list, and that is also available for you to download. We're dealing here with a strange enough, the new version 2, because the renumbering came down the other way around, I guess. So it's actually the version that is in use now is the new version 2, where you can download it on both as a docx and also as a PDF document. The old version is obsolete now. What you do have is a redline copy that you can download also from the agenda page, and that redline copy will show you the changes and the amendments. Now, since that time, we have received some input back, some feedback from, I believe it was Keith Dravick, who has spent some time looking at the charter and has put some notes and made some suggestions. Can I just ask, Bart, how do you wish to do this, and perhaps ask everyone, how do you wish to do this? Should we go through the input that Keith has sent over to the mailing list line by line, or what's the view here?
Olivier, this is Bart speaking for the record. So my suggestion is that we run through, say, Keith's proposed amendments, because some of them need more working group discussion and some of them are more editorial and they could be changed anyway. And I've noticed today some comments from Felice as well. which we could address at the appropriate time. And maybe let me explain which version you have in front of you in the Adobe room.
Okay, thank you very much, Bart. So it's Olivier speaking. So we've got the version 3 in the Adobe room, which is the version that I think is the version that was taken from your consolidated version
Let me explain. Say what I've sent around after the preview, after our call just before the Net Mundial was version 3 in a red line and a clean version. That version took into account the discussions we had on the charter. For example, and this is where you can see it very clearly, say in the previous one, the language around what was excluded from scope is now included. Let me scroll down a little bit. This is where you can see it. This
so
bit.
What I've done here is to unsynchronize. Should we synchronize this? Let's just synchronize it so we know where you're scrolling to. And scroll us down to the right location.
I should be able to scroll because I'm a presenter. Can you see it? Can you see me scrolling now?
Yep.
Yeah? Say, let me give you an example so you understand the version we have. This is the version, say, the clean version is the version used that was the result of the call prior to the Net Mundial. Keith Drasak commented on that version.
Perfect.
Yeah, so this is really the latest, and he sent it in this morning, and I thought, because, say, we didn't receive any other comments on the clean and red line version before this call, only this on the clean version, that this could be the starting point for a final discussion on the charter. Because some of these points are relatively essential. Now, where you can see it, for example, because that's what I want to show you, is this section regarding all issues, processes, etc. It now reflects the official language around the NTIA stewardship of the IANA function transition process. And there was a discussion on the latest call regarding the accountability and accountability mechanisms, which should be included and excluded of the work of this working group. So that should be clarified. This is really essential to the scope of the working group. So that's the starting point, and you see here Keith Drasak's or Chuck's comment, and we didn't receive any comments at all on this part. So that part of the scope, I think, is now solid. So what is not in scope, which is probably the most important. Now let me scroll back to the top of the page, unless there are some, and then we can run through line item by line item. I think these, the question is, and that's the comment from, in this case, from Keith/Chuck, whether it should be provide input or advice to. Chuck stated he wanted to have, he thinks, advice implies an official, more official role, and his question is whether this body should have such an official advisory role. So it's more provide input into. So that's up for discussion right now by the working group.
Okay. Well, shall we then open the floor right away, or do you wish to just look at several issues on the same thing?
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it.
Okay, thanks very much, Bart. So the question, therefore, is the replacement of the word advise with provide input, the point being that to advise implies a more official role, and Keith questions whether this body should have an official advisory role. The floor is open for discussion. And before, also, of course, as we open the discussion here, there should be a, I mean, this discussion will also take place on the mailing list. We're just looking at discussing things today. I don't think we have enough people to make a decision, a real decision of what we want to do there. But that's how we are. I see agreement from Sintra, but I'm not quite sure what she agrees to. Replacing advise with provide input. I like provide input rather than advise. It says Leon Sanchez. Okay. Sintra says Nanan, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I had circulated some amendments to this draft to the working group. I do think provide input is a welcome change to the advice, since in the part B there was a typo between advise and advice. So I think provide input does remove that problem. As well, the line above, if deemed appropriate by the working group, I think it's pretty much understood. So I would suggest removing that if deemed appropriate by the working group. So that line should end to this end the working group to me. And then it runs into A to B.
Okay, thank you very much, Sintra. Yes, I have your copy as well in front of my eyes with your suggestions. So what you're saying is to remove if deemed appropriate by the working group.
I think it's understood because the working group may or may not exercise any of these.
Okay, so I hear at the moment that there is a suggestion to remove if deemed appropriate by the working group, which is just before the before 2A. And then so far I've only heard some positive answer from everyone on the call with regards to provide input replacing advise. I see Leon, Youngam Lee, and Phillies both saying provide input is better than advise. And a green tick from Greg Shatton in the participants list as well. Okay, and what about if deemed appropriate with a working group? Are we okay with removing this? So to this end, the working group may, and then we have the full list of the things that it may do.
Olivier, this is Pranish here.
Pranish, go ahead. You have the floor.
Hi, I'm sorry, I don't have a flagging mechanism because joining through the Adigo call mechanism. So I just want to note that I personally think advice would be better. I'm not quite, could someone explain why this shouldn't have an official advisory role?
Okay, thank you. That's another point. Marina Maciel?
Hi, thank you, Olivier. I just, first of all, wanted to apologize because I was supposed to help on the charter, but then Met Mundial staff completely got over me on previous weeks. And I did not participate when the charter started to be discussed a few months ago. So probably the question I'm going to make, you have already discussed. But I have trouble to understand the scope of the working group when we say that we should discuss issues pertaining to the multi-stakeholder model. It means that the issues that we are going to discuss are related to procedural issues, I mean, how to strengthen the multi-stakeholder model on procedural terms. And then if we read it together with D, then it says that we would produce position papers and statements to the public fora, and I don't understand if it's ICANN fora or external fora, but to advocate a multi-stakeholder model in the ICANN context. So I don't understand if we are attached to the ICANN context or if we should provide input into how the multi-stakeholder model is being implemented in other organizations. I'm having a lot of trouble to understand what is the scope and where we could push these statements and positions forward. So I understand that maybe you have discussed this already, but I would ask for your clarification. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilia. The point here is, I guess you have your own answers. This is the working group that decides what its scope is. Is this working group attached to the ICANN context or not? This is probably something we will discuss in a moment. But let's see, with Greg Chapin, maybe you have a response or a suggestion?
I was actually going to respond to Pranish's question because in the context of another working group I'm on, we've discussed the meaning of the word advice in the ICANN context quite extensively. And I think the reason that Chuck and Keith want to stay away from the word advice is because of its loaded meaning in ICANN speak. The GAC provides advice, and that's a defined kind of advice, which has a defined role under the ICANN bylaws and under the GAC's rules and procedures. And also policy advice is provided and policy recommendations are provided by the GNSO. So the word advice tends to mean something that has been not just decided by a self charter, but has a particular power. So I think that's one reason why the word advice I think is being avoided, and I think the other reason is kind of noted in the marginalia. But I think that's basically the same, says the same thing, that official advice is something that you can't just decide you're offering in ICANN speak, because that word has already, come to have an official meaning. As far as what Marilia brought up, I think that at least on the second bullet point, or B rather, that it's, looking in larger internet governance fora, and the capital F in fora probably should be made a small f. Maybe at one point that referred to the IGF, which would be a capital F for Internet Governance Forum, but now that it's fora, there should be it's generic, so it's a small f. And while line editing on A, I think the word V should come out before Internet Governance. But those are kind of my points on substance and procedure. Thanks.
Olivier, this is Pranish. Can I make a point?
Go ahead, Pranish. It's your go.
Thank you. And thanks, Greg, very much for that. I was just wondering, since it says who the advice is to, and specifically to ICANN staff, supporting organizations, and or advisory committees, I was wondering whether the bylaws, understanding of advice would still apply. And just to add a bit to Marilia's point about to advocate multi-stakeholder model in ICANN context, point D, I'm not even sure whether there is one multi-stakeholder model, and there are many people within ICANN who are trying to, change the way ICANN works, right? So I'm not sure whether this working group should have as part of its objectives advocating one particular multi-stakeholder model, when that itself is a changing notion.
Okay, thank you very much, Pranish. So, on just to be clear, are you still believing that then advice should be stronger than provide input? Does the answer provided by Greg not satisfy you?
It does, but I'm just curious for. If it's still quite whether his comments, whether Greg's comments still applies, since who the advice is to is specified. So I was actually hoping for a rejoinder from Greg or someone else. Because I don't feel very strongly about this, but. I do have a preference for the word advice, but if there's a good reason not to have it, then I'm fine with that.
Okay, thank you very much, Pranish. Greg?
Yeah, I think that I would probably, I'm kind of supporting the provide input for two purposes. One is, you know, that to just avoid confusion, you know, I found that there are a number of words in ICANN that, you know, have kind of become terms of art, and advice is one of those. And, you know, we can decide that we're advising these people, but they can't, they're not going to treat it as advice. And sometimes people call it capital A advice, and then we get into, you know, consensus policy versus non-consensus policy and all these kinds of words that now have forks, so to speak, or multiple meanings, that trying to stay away from that. And also, I don't know that we can nominate ourselves as a group that is going to provide formal advice. You know, this may be a how many angels can dance on the head of a pin question, but I think that the advising, you know, both it implies too much. Unless we go back to each of the SOs and ACs and ICANN staff to see whether they will treat this in some way as formal advice in some fashion. The reality, of course, is that whatever we say will be taken with some weight by those groups, because it will come from the actions of this committee.
I think you've exactly touched on this. It's Olivia speaking. You've touched on that. The working group itself is probably not able to provide advice, but what it does is to provide input for the SOs and ACs to then build advice out of it. I think that's the understanding that I have, but it might be different. Someone was trying to be in the queue here.
Yeah, that was me, but this was Bart. Again, wanted to raise the same point. In my view, and this is the way that the charter was drafted, the working group itself cannot go outside on its own. I think that's what you need to keep in the back of your mind running through this. The working group, and there is no discussion there, the working group shall not act as a representative of participating SOs, NACs collectively or individually. And you have to keep in mind that this charter is structured in such a way that it needs to be adopted by the SOs and ACs. Otherwise, there is no mandate like this. So the discussion around providing input, and et cetera, is always going back through the SOs and ACs, and it's for them to take it up. So there is no... the working group cannot act almost on its own, go outside. And I think that was the result, and this goes back to the internet, or external fora question, etc. That was one of the results of the process leading up to Net Mundial.
That's absolutely correct, Bart, yes. It's Olivia speaking. Okay. So we've got two more people in the queue, and then I'd like us to move on to the next section, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to see some convergence here. Phyllis Yilmaz and then Marilia Maciel. Phyllis, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Phyllis Yilmaz. Thanks, Olivier. I agree with you that maybe it's time to move on with this. I actually really support the use of word input as opposed to advice. Advice contains it has some connotations with certain groups within ICANN circles. We may want to stay out of that. And input nicely captures all other activities we might find ourselves involved with. So I think this is quite a good improvement on the word of the document. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Philly. Next is Marilia Maciel.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Marilia speaking.
I agree with others that providing input is fine. I'd like to focus on the substantive point that I raised earlier, because I continue not to understand what is the scope of the working group. When we talk about advice on issues related to safe model, I think we are closing the mandate of the group a little too much, because it can be read as advising on procedural issues of participating. And thinking about that we have the research process and parallel meetings and issues being discussed, maybe it would be not be so...
Marilia? Have we lost Marilia?
And when we talk about it, it's clear that to take discussions to other fora, but then when we read together with D, for instance, producing position papers about the multi-stakeholder model, first of all, which model are we talking about? Are we talking about developing knowledge about ICANN model and take this knowledge elsewhere? But then we talk about in ICANN context, so it seems like an inward movement to me. Do we want to reinforce ICANN multi-stakeholder model by bringing discussions into ICANN? To me, it's not clear how A is relating to D, so that is what I wanted to ask clarification about. Maybe it's not clarified yet, maybe it's not clear in our minds, but just wanted to flag that. It reads strange, A together with D. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilia, and you are correct. There is the multi-stakeholder model that's mentioned in two locations, and certainly to advocate the multi-stakeholder model in the ICANN context, my understanding of that is effectively by the very means of this working group working in a multi-stakeholder way, it is advocating the ICANN, the ICANN multi-stakeholder model in the ICANN context. With regards to supporting organizations and, providing inputs to ICANN staff, supporting organizations and advisory committees, it is slightly different because we are looking here in the multi-stakeholder model in the context of the internet governance discussions and processes. I do agree there is a slight difference here. Greg Chapin.
Yeah, to follow up on what you're saying, I think that 2A does narrow the scope of the working group, too much compared to the main objective, which is stated in the paragraph just above that. Almost seems like we shouldn't be providing input on issues pertaining to anything other than the multi-stakeholder model. And while I think that is part of our mandate is to, support the multi-stakeholder model, that's certainly not all of it, and that, another part of it is, bringing kind of substantive output beyond just, hey, the multi-stakeholder model in all of its various different forms and processes and iterations is good. At least it's good if it's done well. That's a fair statement, for most. But that can't be all we're here to do. So I think A kind of is closing the walls in a little too far.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. Would you suggest some text to replace this or open this up a little bit?
I think we could just, say on issues pertaining to internet governance. It really, I might even just say that. Because at this point, at this point, the input, we know who the input's going to. It's going to staff, SOs, and AACs, and I think it would be on issues pertaining to internet governance, other than the out-of-scope stuff we've talked about later.
Okay.
That's what I'd say.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to have to look at this because certainly the objective seems to be tighter than the scope later on. Bart, I don't know whether you have you noted this?
I've noted this. I agree with Greg. So, but one thing is what you need to keep in I think, what we're talking about in A to D are means to the end. And the end is what is formulated in the first sentence. So this is all A to D are subsets to the end of the broader objective and examples.
Okay, so then maybe, it's Olivia speaking, we might need to say to this end, the working group may, and I think that we've agreed that we'll take away, so we'll remove if deemed appropriate by the working group. So the working group may do the following thing, so A to D, but we need to have something somewhere which says, but it will not be restricted solely to A to D.
Yeah, but I think this is to this and it may, and other things, but I can add some language there, but then it covers it, because the overarching part is the first sentence, and then the scope sentence, and what is excluded.
Correct, yeah. So that's fine. And then I think I've heard agreement here that we take out advice and put provide input instead because of the concerns of the loaded word of from advice. And I've also, I think we've addressed all the points here, including the issue of internet governance and using it as a lowercase. In internet governance fora in B, lowercase rather than just that one.
I've captured that one. There is only, Olivier, maybe one, and then I think we almost went through the comments on the scope.
Yeah.
It's on D. Say, Keith suggested, let me scroll down. Keith suggested provided bloody until, say, that support. You've all seen that language. If you look at the way, say, this condition is already included in the section relating, and now I'll scroll down, so I hope you can follow me. I'll scroll down to section, let me check, 4. Maybe not in the same working group. It captures precisely the same point as made under D, only in different language. So I do not see the added value of providing this in the scope section, because this is a condition for a working group position paper and statements.
Yeah, thank you, Bart. It's Olivia speaking. That was also the thought that I had, and we don't need to repeat ourselves in the first part and in this part as well.
Yeah, and I think it's
and the way consensus is shown is already shown in this charter.
Yeah. So it's that's one, and then I think this is more a procedural point to position paper and statement than say something of the objective. The objective is that it can provide or draft position papers and statement on certain issues.
Okay.
So my suggestion would lead to delete this part as suggested, and then keep it and maybe reinforce it for the further discussion, refer to working group position paper or statements. Because then you capture the whole process.
Okay, shall we move on to the next section?
Yep. I don't know if there are any questions on this part from the people.
You still synchronize, so if you scroll back up, we should be able to go back to the...
Yeah, I know. So, let me see where we are. Okay, that's A part. Can you hear me? Yeah. Then the again, this was just a comment from Keith, and I haven't seen any discussion. Say that what is excluded. Then the provided. Yeah. Let me go scroll up again because I think I missed. Yeah. Scope. This one is. What is outside of scope, deliverables and time frames, progress. I think at least on a monthly basis is quite something. You'll be busy writing progress reports and getting consensus on progress reports and do nothing else. So I would say on a regular basis, but that would be my suggestion.
I'm sorry, Bob. I lost where you are exactly.
Oh, you can't see it. I should be. I'm in section 3, deliverables and timeframes.
Progress paper, yes?
Yeah, and what you see here, what is added, at least monthly, the progress papers. That's a substantive suggestion.
Well, it's not the way that I read it there. It says here, the co-chairs shall update the participating SOs and ACs at least monthly on the activities. And then it says, at appropriate times, as identified in the work plan, the work group shall produce a paper to inform the broader community. So I see these are two different things. But I see what you mean, because it is under the paragraph progress paper.
Yeah.
So obviously that maybe the at least monthly would need to be put somewhere else, maybe as a subsection, as synchronization with SOs and ACs or something, but not under the progress paper paragraph.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you, we would end up drafting progress papers all the time.
Yeah.
I see there's an extensive amount of discussion on the chat. It's a bit of a mixed bag, discussing various points that they were there. Is there any strong points that any of you on the call would like to make on where we are now, on the deliverables and timeframes? Well, I don't see anyone putting their hand up. So, okay, shall we move on? There is a question here that was asked by Chuck, actually, with regards to relate this position or statement to ICANN, the supporting organizations and advisory committees and external fora. What does this mean? It needs to be clarified. It is hard for me to suggest language because I really don't know what it means on the position papers and statements.
It's the external fora is going back again. It's scrolling up. This is the Internet Governance Fora and Processes. So maybe just repeat the same language.
Perhaps, yeah. That probably would be...
Yeah.
That would be good. Okay, let's move down. Sintra, I know you've also brought some input in a redline version as well. I noticed that you added in the scope and objectives, you added an E, which was support the multi-stakeholder model in the ICANN context. Now, with the text that we've put in there, does this cover your suggestion?
I think so, Olivier. Right now I'm not connected to Adobe, so I'm just trying to reconnect there, but that was just really up for discussion as well by the group. If you do feel that it's already incorporated, then it's fine to be left out.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sintra. So let's scroll down. Back to you, Bob.
Yes. I'm now going to Section 4, Process for the Development of Position Papers. I think a comment from Chuck. Let me... It seems to me that it would always and probably shouldn't be done.
Yeah, so
it's
Olivia speaking. So basically, Chuck is questioning the work group interim position paper or draft statement and the feedback which are given when you have a public comment period, and then the working group can decide whether to respond or not respond to the public comments that are being given. My feeling as an answer to this was that this was a standard practice in ICANN for working groups who send out a public comment period. So but I'm not quite sure. Boss, was that standard text that was included in there? Or?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
So for everyone, that we're here on page number 3, the working group interim position paper or draft statement. And there it says, the working group at its own discretion may publish for public consultation within the ICANN community an interim paper which will contain a review and analysis of the topics it considers relevant or a draft statement. This document will be published for public consultation at the time designated in the working group plan. And Chuck Gomez's point, as relayed by Keith, was it seems to me that it would always be appropriate and probably shouldn't be done if consultation is not unfeasible, otherwise it becomes a top-down exercise. I think that there is an agreement on that. But then afterwards, the review of interim paper on draft statement, it says, after closure of the public consultation on the interim paper, the working group shall review and analyze the comments received and may, at its reasonable discretion, provide appropriate responses. And there the comment is, this does not seem to be a bottom-up multi-stakeholder approach. It also seems to contradict what is said in the next paragraph. And just what the paragraph was that was selected for deletion was, the working group shall, at its reasonable discretion, not be obligated to address all comments made during the comment period, nor shall the working group be obligated, as its reasonable discretion, to include all comments submitted in any one individual, by any one individual or organization. And I've just enabled scrolling for everyone. So the understanding that I have is that the system that is in use in general is that all the comments are published, all of the comments are summarized by staff usually, and then the working group itself, or any working group, has a choice to make use of the comment or not, and take it into account. Am I correct, boss?
Yeah, at least that is my experience, but I'm not sure if that is works across in a similar way across all the SOs and ACs.
Any thoughts from anyone on the call here on this? Marilia Maciel.
Hi, Olivier. This is Marilia speaking. Sometimes it's very hard to reconcile positions that go in opposite directions. So I think that in some specific cases, they are few, the working group needs to take a position. So I think I agree with you and with Leon and others that comments should be published and everything, but then not all comments can be included.
Okay, thank you very much, Marilia. It certainly is the case if we include all the comments, that's going to basically mean we can only have something if there is unanimous agreement. It looks to me very difficult to hold. Youngam Lee.
Yes, this is Youngam. I was just trying to unmute myself. I'm thinking that if it is not, I mean, usually not mandatory for to include to address all the comments. Do we really need to mention it at all?
So do we need to actually put in the text that we want to do that?
Right.
I guess yeah. It doesn't, as long as we don't say that we will. Consider all the responses, it might not need to be mentioned. Greg Shatten?
Hi, it's Greg Shatten. I guess a couple of comments here. First, provide appropriate responses is a kind of an odd thing to say, because you know, I think the issue is rather
whether the interim paper is going to be edited and turned into a final paper. So not so much responses, because responses seems to imply, or at least can be ambiguous, and can seem to imply that we're going to respond directly to the commenting members or SO or AC and engage in some sort of dialogue. I mean, that may be as well how things will work in practice, but it seems to me that the, you know, that the mechanism should be, you know, kind of like, you know, any other working group, or at least any working group I've been involved in. You put a draft report out for comment, you review the comments, and then you revise the draft report in light of the comments received. And you don't provide responses, as such, like, you know, ICANN correspondence, you know, back and forth. And committing the group to provide responses seems to be, maybe that's not even what was intended, but it would seem to me to be kind of an odd commitment that we're going to start engaging in a dialogue between this working group and any particular AC that, or SO that puts in a comment.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. And it does say here, at its reasonable discretion. So if it doesn't want to provide responses, it can just not provide them. I think that the solution of not mentioning not be obligated to address all comments is something that goes that doesn't need to be mentioned in the draft. But
yep.
And Young-Am Lee, are you still wishing to add to your comment, or is that an old hand? Okay, thank you. Back to you, Bob.
So we can
remove that, I think, if it doesn't clash with any other SONAC draft charter. We could check on this, and if it's not specifically in other draft charters, we can keep that out. If it is, then maybe we can come back to Keith and say, well, that's the sort of standard practice in ICANN.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I think, and again, what we discussed at the start of this conversation, what should be kept in mind, and that's the whole point about these working group position papers and statement, is this is, first of all, the working group which will provide them, and this is going to the next point, is the working group will provide the draft to the SOs and ACs for their approval or support. And so it's more recording what has happened and documenting the process than anything else. So, and this is where the next comment comes in from Chuck. He thinks that only after all participating SOs and ACs support or endorse a position paper or statement is too high a threshold to send it out. But I think the way it was drafted, this section, and you have to view it in context of the second paragraph of this section, of this subsection, this is the starting point. All participating SOs and ACs support or endorse it. If they don't, then there is this mechanism to deal with the diverging positions of SOs and ACs. So
So we have to make a choice, basically, then, whether we want this to be all participating SOs and ACs, or whether we want to have a mechanism for diverging views as well. Greg Shatten?
Hi, it's Greg Shatten again. I think that the first and second paragraphs under SO and AC support, as currently drafted, clash with each other. I don't think that's the intent. I think that's a drafting issue as I see it, because I think that the way I would do this is to have this go in front of each organization, be submitted to each organization for support or endorsement, and then in the event that there is you know, obviously full support, then it can be used without any modification. And if there isn't full support from every group, then it goes down to the second paragraph. So I think the way, because the opposite of the way the first paragraph is drafted, if there isn't full support or endorsement, the working group cannot use the proposed paper or statement at all. Not that they can use it the way it is in the second paragraph, but that they can't use it at all. You know, maybe you could have a provided however at the end of the first paragraph, although that's getting into a little bit of kind of legal drafting that I don't think we need to start making it sound like a contract.
No, I think you're quite right. And so in the next version, I'll turn it round and say it needs to be submitted and then to seek support and or endorsement. It depends a bit on the way the SO or AC works. And then in the event one or more do not endorse it, and then this mechanism will kick off.
Yes, thank you, boss. I think we've got agreement on this as well.
Yeah.
That effectively that first paragraph or that first sub-paragraph seemed to trump the second one. We just have to adjust the language so that it doesn't have the word only in there. But we're in agreement on that. Okay, let's move on. We've only got another 5 minutes until the end of this call. Maybe we can just continue to focus on this. And I wanted to let Marilia maybe speak to us regarding the aftermath of Net Mundial for another 5 minutes as well before we end this call. So back to your you thinking us further down.
Yes, I will. And that's the next point. This is where most of, say, the comments from Keith and Chuck and I've noted today that the, say, Felice had a point around the co-chairs. It was not clear to her how the co-chairs were appointed, or too many co-chairs, and when she suggested that a chair should be appointed among the co-chairs. Am I correct, Felice? Maybe you can speak to it. And there's Greg has his hand up as well.
Yes. Felice here. Thanks, Bart. Yes, that is my confusion. I mean, maybe the people who worked on the charter building smaller group, narrower group, they had a position on this, but I'm not aware of that. So apologies if I'm opening a already discussed issue. But when I look at the version in hand now, first of all, I'm confused if there's a suggestion to have a co-chair group where the individuals are appointed by SOs or ACs, or there's supposed to be a co-chair group that is appointed by the group itself. In different parts of the document, there is the usage of a co-chair or co-chairs, plural versus singular. So I think this needs definitely some clarification. And my personal opinion, with my experience also, is that if you don't have, if you keep that group too big, it will be hard operationally to get anything concrete in short time, especially in day-to-day businesses. If you have only one person, you will have redundancy issues because everybody needs a backup. So I would like to have this clarified already on the charter, because it's an important issue for the sustainability of this working group and being able to produce meaningful work. Thank you.
Thank you, Philly. Greg Shatton?
I have 2 points. I'll make them both briefly since we're running out of time. The first is, I agree that we need to have a chair, I think a chair and a vice chair, and if we want to, we could have some form of a, I hate to use the word steering committee, or executive committee, a facilitation committee maybe, that's composed of the, you know, that would be what this co-chair group is intended to be, if we want to have sort of a subgroup so that each SO and AC kind of has a representative, you know, that is slightly elevated above the rest of the fray, as opposed to just having a chair and co-chair and the other SOs and ACs somehow feel like they're only rank and file. We've done this in one other working group I'm involved. We have a kind of a larger group of kind of deputy chairs or assistant chairs that are sitting there and doing additional things, but it's clear that the chair has the role of the chair, and the vice chair steps into the role of the chair and assists the chair. And because I think that a group with eight chairs is a group with no chairs, and that won't work very well, unless we have rotating chairmanship, which is in one group I'm in that has two co-chairs. The two chairs trade off which meeting they're going to facilitate. But clearly, I mean, as this meeting and every other meeting shows, you have to have a chair who is, you know, at least, you know, facilitating the progress of the meeting, but also, you know, inching people toward consensus and, you know, looking for the sharp edges and identifying them and talking about them and trying to smooth them down or leave them sharp, depending upon what the group indicates. It's a, as I've participated in ICANN processes, I'm continually admire the hard work of chairs to actually, you know, facilitate the consensus process and not merely, you know, just, you know, gabble things in and out of session. The second point I wanted to make just briefly is that in terms of the composition of the overall committee, you know, we're talking about having, you know, at least two but no more than five members from each participating SO. And while I hate to make the group GNSO heavy, at least in the commercial stakeholder group rarely functions as such. It's really more of a holding company, if you will, for three separate constituencies, which each have their own interests. And, you know, so for instance, a member of the ISP constituency really wouldn't have a particular capacity to kind of, you know, represent or make the commercial stakeholder group, I mean, the business constituency or the IP constituency feel represented. So kind of asking at least, you know, those three constituencies to kind of, you know, asking two of them to kind of step away from the committee. I realize we'll have observers, and hopefully we'll be working by consensus and not by vote, so maybe that doesn't matter too much, but at least, you know, it's an issue that affects the commercial stakeholder group, particularly the non-commercial stakeholder group, and I don't intend to speak for them, I think tends to operate with less of a kind of feeling of subsidiarity and more of a committee of the whole. At least that's my sense, but that's not the sense for the commercial stakeholder group. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. And on the first point that you made, I see agreement from Young-Am Lee, who mentions that maybe a small number of co-chairs and a committee of a slightly larger number of people in the form of a steering committee is a possibility. On the second point that you make, it's well understood that the GNSO and the GNSO Council and the different stakeholder groups in the GNSO, contracted parties, non-contracted, and obviously commercial and non-commercial in the subsets, does make it quite a complex community that might have trouble in identifying the people to be able to represent them in this. I'd like to keep that one open, because I'd like to see the response from the SOs and ACs as we send this to them. Ultimately, I really think it should be up to the GNSO to work this one out on how they want to arrange themselves. I can certainly see other SOs and ACs being concerned about the GNSO heaviness in those discussions. As in, you know, more GNSO folk than in other SOs and ACs. So last comment, we've got Cintra Circulan.
Thanks, Olivier. I agree in co-chairs. I think because of the rotating time of these calls, it's important that there are co-chairs in different regions to facilitate moving the group forward. I agree with what Greg has said in terms of different constituencies choosing different mechanisms to participate. I personally don't foresee it as a problem, because whether you have two or three in one constituency, you may have five in city non-commercial sites. So I think there will be a balance at some point in time, and it's really for both constituencies and the working group as a whole to find that balance. But what I think is important for us to do is to build in enough flexibility within these rules so that we don't litigate how participation should necessarily occur.
Yes, thank you very much, Cintra. And as you said, the flexibility, I think, is there. And just building up on what Greg had said earlier, indeed, there will be, I think it's an unlimited number of observers, and it's only if it does come to a vote that the actual open quote participant close quote list will be needed. But as far as the observers are concerned, as far as I can understand, and please, Bart, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think everyone under this charter would be able to both speak in the conference calls but also email in the mailing list. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's the intention. Say it's again striking a balance between observership and members, at least to, and this is probably what everybody needs to keep again in the back of the minds. This is about creating also a safe space for the participating SOs and ACs in general. And therefore, you have a minimum for the SOs and ACs, and there is the circle around it of the observers, which is far broader.
Thank you, Bart. Back to you, Cintra.
Thank you, Olivier. I had put in my draft, just one point of clarification to this paragraph, and that's with regard to experts. The statement is that experts are not considered members or observers, but otherwise are entitled to participate on equal footing. But my question is, on equal footing as what? As members or as observers? I think we need to define whether experts are given the same privileges as members. I would suggest that they're given the privileges of observers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cintra. And I see in your paragraph. Did you get this, Bart?
No, but I'll add it right now. It's observers. But yeah.
There's a little paragraph which says the co-chairs of the working group, in consultation with the members of the working group, may appoint experts to the working group. Experts are not considered members or observers, but otherwise are entitled to participate on equal footing, and it doesn't say as what. So Cintra suggested as observers.
Yeah. Included.
So, and finally, the last point which Chuck made, I don't know whether it was Chuck or whether it was Keith, and that goes a little bit further down. So with regards to the SOI repository, I think we all need SOIs in there, definitely. And if so, the charter should say that. So I let you add the relevant SOI paperwork on this.
This is Bart speaking, Olivier. Depends a bit. Say SOI, statement of interest, is very common in, say, one SO and not common in another. But I'll look up at the cross-community working group on frameworks of cross-community working group, how they've managed it.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, I certainly know the GNSO has SOIs, the ALAC has SOIs. I don't know if the CCNSO do.
The CCNSO
don't. Don't. Okay, so that might be an issue at that point.
Yeah. So, but I'll look it up and I'll add it. So, but okay. No, that's a fair point.
And then the last one is the comment on the. I think it's to do with the minimum guidelines for consensus or no consensus. Unfortunately, we don't have another 10 hours to discuss that one. I'm not quite sure how to go through this. No, the page before, there you go, beginning of page 5.
You can define it at all kinds of levels, I think. And I know some people on this group want to do it, but keep in the back of your mind what's the purpose, what you want to achieve. If you want to have, at the end of the day, the consensus or non-consensus paper go out to the SOs and ACs, and they, at the end of the day, need to endorse or support it. Secondly, what is included here, and probably that's far more important, that minority position, how small the minority is, even of one person, should be included. So it's more, then it becomes into almost to a full vote if you would go to qualify the consensus.
Thank you, Bob. Greg had a thought on this. He does ask whether we should have consensus versus full consensus versus rough consensus.
Yeah, that's the GNSO guideline language used. And again, if you would look at the framework for cross-community working groups, that after extensive discussion, that was deleted and adopted by the CCNSO and the GNSO.
Did you say it was deleted? Or
yes, deleted this whole section. Say this section again is a copy from what is in the cross community working group on frameworks for cross community working groups.
Ah, okay. And that you said was deleted, or
the section
on consensus was deleted.
No, the section on rough consensus, unanimous decision, and the other different layers of consensus was deleted. It was suggested at first, but then deleted. The section you have, or the paragraph you have in front of you, is similar and the same to the one in the cross-community working group on frameworks for cross-community working groups.
Okay, thank you for this. We still have two hands, Sintra Sirpnaran and then Greg Shatton. Sintra, is this...
I'm sorry, this is another hand.
Thank you, Sintra. Greg Shatton.
I think this goes back to the point I made in the chat, too, which is that when it talks about putting together a working paper,
Ian talks about consensus and really kind of seems to follow a GNSO model to a certain extent, in that there is room for minority statements and for something to come out that has less than full consensus. Contrast that with, say, GAC consensus, which is no objections. And I think there may be some groups. I'm on one working group, actually a GNSO group, but that one happens to work by full consensus, which means nothing comes out of that group unless everybody agrees. So there are no minority positions. But I think without having some position here, well, you know, whatever was deleted was deleted, but how will there's no definition. If there's no definition of consensus versus, and by therefore no definition of no consensus, then this provides no guidance to the committee on how, or on the chairs, to say when consensus exists. If there's one minority position, does that mean it's no consensus? Or does that mean there's consensus with a minority position? That bridge has to be crossed. It cannot be avoided. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. Marilia Maciel.
Thank you, Olivier. Just would like to comment that I think we should not be too specific to qualify consensus at this point, because different issues may require different thresholds to achieve consensus. Just imagine, for instance, that we are discussing the inclusion of a topic on the agenda or not. Simple majority could work for that, or the order that we are going to tackle the issue. So I think that it's really the sensitivity of the chair and the group working together that will identify which each issues that should require consensus or majority, or define if we should have different statements of people that have different positions added to the records or to the documents we have produced. So I think this is something we will feel only in practice. We may discuss this a lot here, but we will not reach conclusions. And if we put something like that on paper, we may lack flexibility to work later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilia. Greg?
I think that, you know, this particular section talks about the work plan, papers, and final report. So it's not necessarily about agendas, and I think in general, agenda items, you know, never get refused unless they're somehow violently off topic. You know, so I couldn't put my brownie recipe on the agenda, but if I wanted to put, you know, something else that was, you know, within the scope on the agenda, that doesn't require consensus. It doesn't require any kind of consensus. But I think that we can't just kind of leave consensus as a floating point, because then we're going to how do we decide when we have consensus on what our consensus level is going to be? Do we need to say that we have to have full consensus on what the level of consensus is going to be for each point? It's recursive, another great ICANN word I learned these days. And I think that we can't avoid deciding whether we're operating on a unanimity point or on a, you know, a point of consensus, but allowing minority positions, you know, to exist in along with a consensus position. It just, I just have to say again, it's unavoidable. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. And certainly, if consensus is the word that we're using, I don't see consensus here in this discussion at the moment. But at the same time, I also do feel that this is a discussion I've heard many, many times over at ICANN, and both in cross-community working groups, but also in GNSO and in working groups, and certainly my experience in the ALAC.
If I could just add
maybe
other
we need
thing.
To keep this one open for the time being, and more input from the rest of the working group by email. Greg, back to you quickly.
I just wanted to note that in the second sentence of that first paragraph, it says, if a minority opposes a consensus position, that minority position shall be incorporated in the related paper. So I think that by itself implies that we're operating under rough consensus or, you know, non-unanimous consensus. And if we want to fudge it partway, we can leave this the way it is, and maybe then you have the co-chairs might decide that something that's particularly explosive, even if there's a minority position, shouldn't be, you know, granted consensus. Maybe that's a kind of a possible fudge on that. That leaves a lot of power with the co-chairs to decide whether a particular minority position is too strong or too large to avoid consensus. You know, maybe that's some kind of, you know, cold comfort, you know, so that at least the second sentence recognizes that a minority does not destroy consensus. Well, you know, that okay. I guess I can live with that.
Bart, do you have a suggestion for text to encompass this?
I think Greg captured the whole drift about, say, the whole basic idea around it, and we could stress the point that, say, if there is a minority, it should be captured, no matter what. So it's not even at the discretionary power of the co-chairs, because then there will be, say, my experience with say, the working groups from an ICANN staff perspective, I've been supporting, and some of them do, say, some of them were of a cross-community nature, is that the issue of consensus or no consensus was not really a matter of discussion. Is that by its very nature, the chairs knew when there was consensus, and it was practical. And don't forget again, this is not about a policy. This is about papers or other things that go back to the SOs and ACs, where minorities also and people opposing always have the possibility to inform the SOs and ACs of what's going on. So there is a lot of checks and balances in there, and especially reporting out to the SOs and ACs.
Okay, thank you, Bart. I realize we are already 15 minutes beyond the end of this call, in fact, more than 15 minutes off. Greg, your hand is still up.
I am, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Bart, what we're going to do is to leave it to you to make the few updates or suggested updates. I don't know whether you can keep them as red lines on there, and then punt this back to the working group and the working group mailing list, and hope that people will be listening to the call here, or at least reading Alexandra's very viable notes, very good notes. which will put across the points which were raised here, the answers to Keith and Chuck's notes, and see if we can move forward. There's still a couple of sticky points in this draft, but then once we've got the input from the working group on the mailing list, we can send this out to the SO and AC chairs. Rafiq, you have the hand up?
Yes.
Rafiq is having trouble with...
Go ahead, Rafiq.
I'm here. Okay. Thanks, yeah. Okay, I think it was lively discussion today. Couldn't follow everything easily, but I guess we really need more discussion within the mailing list. So we had people good start with people making comments in the document, and hopefully Bart will provide an update document with all comments. But I guess we need really to ask people that in within a few days before the next call to make their comments. And so we can just in the next call really to finalize. I mean, otherwise we will spend more time in the charter when we should really send as soon as possible to SOACs because we can get input from them and that maybe it will make the process much longer when we also need to think about handling next issues regarding internet governance. I guess if we can make kind of ask people to reply, not maybe within this next 3 days because it's all we are in the middle of the week, but just to ensure that people need to listen to the call and to make comments so we can move forward. Otherwise, we will have the same issue like in the beginning of the working group.
Thank you very much, Rafiq, and I'm glad to hear that we're touching on the two most religious issues out there at ICANN, which is, I guess, the what is consensus, and, well, we're not touching yet on what is the public interest yet, but this probably is likely to creep into the discussion very soon. But with all this, we are quite a while past our official end time. I thank all of you for this very, very useful input today. I think we made some very good progress. And thank Bart for holding the pen on this. Bart, any last questions?
No, not for me. I'm fine.
Okay, thanks. And Marilia, I'm really sorry. I was going to call upon you to provide us with a few details of Net Mondial and the feedback. Perhaps we can do that next week, and perhaps we could start with the quick feedback on Net Mondial, a good like 5-10 minutes on that, and then move back to the charter afterwards. And with this, one more action item, of course, which is for staff to send a doodle out for next week's call. And I thank you all, and wish you to have a very good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Take care. This call is now adjourned. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.